No, I did not, answered General Pershing. If I had known it, I might have thought of something worthwhile to say. The audience was visibly stunned. It was a latter-day miracle, reported the magazine. The human voice was speeding from ocean to ocean, stirring the electric waves from one end of the country to the other. The grand finale was a demonstration of Bell's newest and perhaps most astonishing invention yet. A wireless telephone, the ancestor of our mobile phone, of which, by 1916, Bell already had a working prototype. To show it off, Bell mounted what might be called one of history's first multimedia presentations, combining radio, the phonograph, the telephone, and the motion picture projector, the most dazzling inventions of the early 20th century. Miles away, in a radio station in Arlington, a record player began the Star-Spangled Banner. The sound came wirelessly to the Willard Banquet Hall over the 800 receivers, while a motion picture projector beamed a waving Old Glory onto a screen. The combination of sight and sound brought the guests to their feet with hearts beating fast, souls aflame with patriotism, and minds staggered. AT&T, it seemed, had powers to rival the gods. Perhaps never before in the history of civilization, opined National Geographic, had there been such an impressive illustration of the development and power of the human mind over mundane matter. It may seem a bit incongruous to begin a book whose ultimate concern is the future of information with a portrait of Theodore Vail, the greatest monopolist in the history of the information industries, basking in the glories of the nation's most vital communications network under his absolute control. After all, these are far different times. Our own most important network, the Internet, would seem to be the antithesis of Vail's Bell system, diffusely organized, even chaotic, where his was centrally controlled, open to all users and content, voice, data, video, and so on. The Internet is the property of no one, where the Bell system belonged to a private corporation. Indeed, thanks mainly to this open character of the Internet, it has become a commonplace of the early 21st century that, in matters of culture and communications, ours is a time without precedent, outside history. Today, information zips around the nation and around the globe at the speed of light, more or less at the will of anyone who would send it. How could anything be the same after the Internet revolution? In such a time, an information despot like Vail might well seem antediluvian. Yet, when we look carefully at the 20th century, we soon find that the Internet wasn't the first information technology supposed to have changed everything forever. We see, in fact, a succession of optimistic and open media, each of which, in time, became a closed and controlled industry like Vail's. Again and again in the past 100 years, the radical change promised by new ways to receive information has seemed, if anything, more dramatic than it does today. Thanks to radio, predicted Nikola Tesla, one of the fathers of commercial electricity, in 1904, the entire Earth will be converted into a huge brain, as it were, capable of response in every one of its parts. The invention of film, wrote W.D. Griffith in the 1920s, meant that children in the public schools will be taught practically everything by moving pictures. Certainly they will never be obliged to read history again. In 1970, a Sloan Foundation report compared the advent of cable television to that of movable type. The revolution now in sight may be nothing less. It may conceivably be more. As a character in Tom Stoppard's The Invention of Love, set in 1876, remarks, every age thinks it's the modern age, but this one really is. Each of these inventions, to end all inventions, in time passed through a phase of revolutionary novelty and youthful utopianism. Each would change our lives, to be sure, but not the nature of our existence.